All right, how many of you like that song? Let's see those hands. You like that song?
I love it.
You're all wrong. I'm just kidding. Have you know? Is that mic on, by the way?
I think so.
There it is. We're all good. Right. Anybody noticed the recent trend on like Facebook and Twitter that now everybody has to be like, yes, Mary knew.
And she knew.
She knew. In fact, one of the things you shared with me was Mary freaking knew. That's what the post said.
They rewrote
said.
The song. Mary freaking knew.
Mary freaking new. I told Amy as we were talking Friday, I said, this highlights for me one of the problems I have with social media and just culture in general right now. Everybody needs a platform. And so if you can find any nuance on anything, it's like, let me tell you how everybody else is wrong and I'm right. But it leads to a great question. I love this song, Pentatonics, man. They did a great job. But I will tell you, I love the original version. It was done by a Christian comedian. It may not.
Mark Lowry.
It's
my
Christian
childhood.
Comedian. Yes.
And the Gaithers, they did it like a million
band.
Times.
And if you've never heard that arrangement, I would encourage you to find it because, I mean, whew, it's powerful, powerful. But it does lead to the question of what did Mary know? I mean, some people say Mark Lowry wrote the song and he's like, Mary didn't know, and there we go. And then everybody today evidently says, Mary did know. So that's the question. What did she know? How much did she know? And what do we do with that?
And what about Joseph? Like, I love that he doesn't even get a shout out in the song or anything. It's just.
He really doesn't make much of the Gospels either. He's like, you know, a little about that much, and then that dude is out of there. But you and I were talking, and it was kind of funny because when Amy and I get together, our conversations go very weird places a lot of times. But, you know, one of the things we were asking was like, think about this toddler, this child Jesus, okay? Jesus is born, and he begins to grow up. What did Mary know in that moment? Like, when he was a toddler, could he do miracles? I mean, you know, we read about it in the Gospels, and he's like calming the storm. And then as a parent, Amy, how would you react if Amy or if Pearl or Jack could do miracles on you?
Yeah.
Be tough?
Well, I would hope for the miracle of sleeping often and through the night and the miracle of changing your own diapers and things like that. I follow an artist. His name is Scott Erickson, and he has this whole... all these images.
We have that picture at the end. Yeah, he can show that.
Yeah, he
go
has
to,
all
jump
these.
Jump to the
like,
end of the slides here. There's a picture there in the slide deck.
He's got a.
There it is.
Yes, I'm like I just laugh because he has this whole thing called Honest Advent about like what is the story of Jesus and Jesus' birth really about, you know? And Jesus would have pooped and like needed someone like the mighty God, you know, and Mary would have like. Had to
change the diaper.
Clean his diapers.
Yes, that would have been part of it.
Yeah.
And we just kind of wonder, we don't get a lot of insight into what Jesus was like growing up. You know, did he do those miracles? When he was playing games with other kids, you know, did he, you know, throw his little miracle stuff in there to like help him win? And so, I don't know. I mean, you asked the question, did he have acne?
Did he go through like the awkward teen years or was he just...
I don't know. And, you know, and... When Jesus was just hanging out in his room, did like angels come then and just hang out with him or what? We don't know any of this stuff, but it leads to great questions. What in the world did Mary possibly know? Yeah. And so when we begin to think about this, a lot of times we want to just elevate people beyond their humanity. And we do have to remember that Mary was a human. A human. In fact, that Honest Advent, one of the quotes from that site was, there was a moment when the presence of God was felt as uneasy morning sickness. Think about that for just a moment. We don't think about it that way, do we? We never think about it that way.
Yeah, that Mary would have like experienced pregnancy. I mean, even though it's the Messiah in her...
I can't speak to that. I haven't.
Oh, yeah. I know. Do you remember the year of Christmas that I was pregnant and you were like, do you want to sit on the donkey? And we could, anyway, do you remember
thought
that?
Thought it was a great idea.
He doesn't know what it's like to be pregnant. But, I mean, that is interesting. We talked a lot about that this week where I'm like, the anxiety, okay, moms in the room, the anxiety already that you feel as a mom, and she's a first-time mom, and it's under scandalous circumstances, and there would have been a lot of questions around her anyway. But just even in just kind of like, awesome circumstances. As a first-time mom, you feel so much anxiety. You're wondering what's happening in your body. Everything's changed. Yes, everything's, thank you. Everything's changing. Everything feels blown out of proportion.
Guys, we're just going to sit here and nod.
Yes.
Supportive
so
as if we know.
I'm like, Mary felt that. Mary, yeah. And I wonder, like, I mean, she would have probably had some of those first-time mom things, but then also has this knowledge of, like, the Messiah is my baby.
Yeah, and so that's that whole weird aspect that kind of comes into play. So, you know, she's probably most likely a young teenage girl. You know, she's not in her 20s or 30s necessarily. The girls got married young then, and so she's probably a young teenage girl. She was a good Jewish girl, so most likely she had grown up hearing the stories of the prophets and things like that. So she may have had some idea. I mean, and if you think about what were the people at that time expecting? Well, you kind of have to go back to the prophecies to look. And you know, you go to Isaiah, and you know, just one of them is, it says, you know, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you'll call him Emmanuel. There's Isaiah 9, it's, you know, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, you know, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So you have to think that all these things are kind of roaming around in her head, yeah. But there's still a lot of mystery. What does that mean? I mean, because remember, when words of prophecy were spoken, they weren't always thought of as future hundreds of years from now. There was always an immediate context that those words were spoken, like here and now, but then they also could look forward. And so would she have been thinking, oh, the Jesus that we think about today? Probably not. She probably would not have had all those things roaming through her head. In fact, Amy, why don't you share with us the Luke passage where, what does the angel tell her anyway, that to help her kind of understand what's going to go on?
Yeah. So the Luke passage is Luke 1, 28 through 38. It says, the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. And Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You'll conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end.
So here's what I love. So as modern 21st century theological students, you know, we would immediately jump into our Bible software and start clicking on these words to say, well, what was the Greek word? What did it mean? And we would dig down and we'd go, oh, favored. What is favored? And what is troubled? And what is, you know, the Lord Most High and all this? Let's dig down. She had none of that. She had this moment where an angel that scared the mess out of her tells her this message, and all she has to go on is this right here. She doesn't have the entire complete plan. Now, put yourself early teenage years. Ladies, how are you feeling in this moment?
Scared.
Exactly. Anybody
else? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And we talked about the prophecy. Like, would she have been? I mean, those are big words that the angel says to her. And it's interesting. He actually doesn't tell her that much. So Mary knew some, but Mary didn't know a lot. Mary knew that God was with her, that she was favored,
yeah,
and that she was going to birth the son, Jesus, name of Jesus. Yeah. And, I mean, it's like the whole...
he will be great.
Yeah,
like
and
any
son
mother
of
needs
the most,
to be told
yeah,
that about their child.
Be great. It's going
to
be great.
You know?
But the Son of the Most High and the throne of his father, David... That's a startling moment, and I wonder, what would that have felt like? And
well, I think Megan hit it. She'd been scared to death,
yeah.
I think, in that moment. And
yeah.
Then, remember, this is a woman who is engaged to be married. This is like a marriage already, except it hasn't been consummated. The you know, the way it worked back then was you kind of got betrothed or engaged, and then the guy would go back and he would make arrangements, basically would build onto his father's house. And then when the arrangements were ready, they would come with a bridal party and they would pick up the bride and they would go back and they'd have this huge celebration and the marriage and all that kind of stuff. And here she is, she's being told that this engaged woman, oh, by the way, you're about to get pregnant with somebody else's child. You know, and so then you got to be scratching your head to think, what is going to go on here? And, you know, so the angel actually tells her how it's going to happen. It says, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. He basically says the Holy Spirit will come on you and will, you know, and that's how it's going to happen. That's how this is going to be. And again...
And Mary's response, I love her. Bless her.
Yes.
She's terrified. She's got this epic moment of like, and can you imagine all that she's trying to process in her brain and her heart? Like, what? I'm going to be pregnant. with the Messiah and all these questions. And it says that she said to the angel, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled.
Wow, that's an amazing reaction.
Mary, is that incredible?
There had to be something very spiritual going on in her in that moment. But there really, the only other indication we get of what Mary might have known is when you look a little further in Luke. So after she gets pregnant, we see that she has this interaction with her cousin Elizabeth, where Elizabeth is the one who's pregnant with John the Baptist. And so these ladies are kind of 6 months apart on their conceptions. And Mary goes, and there's crazy things happening. The baby in Elizabeth's womb leaps when Jesus is in his presence. It's a crazy. But then you have these songs that Mary sings. The song that Mary sings is called the Magnificat, and it's in Luke chapter 1. And listen to what Mary says here. She says, and Mary says, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down the rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. So, I mean, I think the interesting thing is, as you hear that, what did Mary know? That's the ultimate question we're trying to answer here. She has this moment where she kind of reflects on who God is, but I'm still not convinced she really fully understood what was going to happen to her. And so go to that next slide there, Sean. What did Mary know? Here's a list of things that we kind of came up with. She knew she was carrying the Messiah, but did she fully understand the depth of that? I don't think so. I don't think she fully understood it. She knew the history of God's goodness because she certainly spoke that here.
Yeah, I mean, her whole song, we were talking, I was like, oh, she's actually talking about God.
Yes.
She's not talking about Jesus.
The one to come.
Yeah,
it's really more the past. And some scholars
what I know of God.
Some scholars think there could be some prophecy here as far as her looking forward, but you don't always get that indication. She knew this was going to be different.
Yeah.
She knew the names.
Yeah.
She knew there would be Emmanuel and Jesus. But the question is, did she expect the Messiah as he came? And that's a great question, isn't it? Because I think what Christmas forces us to reckon with is that the Jesus we get is not always the Jesus we expect. Mm-hmm. You know, in the first century, in the ancient Near East, when they were thinking of the Messiah, what were they thinking? Here they are, Roman oppression. You know, they're God's chosen people, and they are ready to experience that freedom. And they haven't experienced that in a long time. And so when they think about the Messiah to come, they're thinking of that military power. After all, they had Herod. These guys that reigned at that time, they called themselves gods. That's why Christianity was such an affront to the rulers at the time, because you named Jesus Lord, not Caesar Lord. And so when Mary gets this message, I'm just not convinced she walked away and went, it's going to be exactly what we know it to be.
Yeah, and when you think about even like the Magnificat, when Mary is like, when we hear this song that she has about God's goodness to her, I'm like struck in that moment because she's with Elizabeth, and I'm like, it's the kingdom of God is going to be established, and it's being talked about with two pregnant women. And they're talking about how it's going to be so
high
different.
High-class women in that time, right? I mean, women were definitely elevated.
You're
right. Yeah.
No. So that's why it's it's so interesting that like you were saying, people would have expected this like powerful, you know, this kind of reign and rule of power. And you're actually seeing the beginning of like the story of the beginning of how the kingdom of God comes is these two pregnant ladies and talking about, you know, the kingdom of God being backwards, or like that he's going to, she has an indication, right? He brought down rulers from their thrones, mm-hmm. and he's lifted up the humble. He fills the hungry with good things. You start to see like, okay, there's something very different going on here than what people would have expected.
Absolutely. Something very different than what they wanted. And we know as we continue on through the birth story, we continue to see that born in Bethlehem, a no-name town, nothing, you know, happens there. And here comes the Messiah being born in a place where there's no room. You know, it all goes against everything that the people at that time would have been looking for and expecting in the Messiah. So really, when we ask the question, what did Mary know? We kind of push back against the platforming people who say, Mary knew. And we go, I'm not so convinced.
She might have known something.
But she certainly didn't know what we know today, which leads to the next question is, what do we know? What do we know about Jesus? Because we definitely know, we know more than Mary did.
Yeah.
Because we have the Gospels, we have it laid out, and we have the entire story of his life. In fact, we know about Jesus because of what he said about himself. You know, when you look at Jesus, when he came on the scene in Luke chapter 4, I love this passage because, again, he's quoting Isaiah, those prophecy, the words of prophecy, and he's claiming them for himself when he says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And so I just want to ask you, when you think of Jesus and somebody says, what do you know about Jesus? What do you say? So this is your opportunity to feed back to me. What would you say? Who is Jesus? Look at him. They're going to be shy. Do you know him?
Ashworth, do you know?
That's right.
Love.
Okay, so love. What else do we see? What do we know of him today?
Forgiveness.
Okay, forgiveness.
Savior.
Life, yeah. Absolutely. Healer, yes. We could fill pages and pages, couldn't we, about what we know about Jesus through the gift of Scripture that we have and the Gospels that we have. And here's just a few things that we put on the screen. So we know he is Savior. He says that. He tells us that. And the apostles, the disciples confirm that. He forgives sins. What a huge thing. You know, that goes in with that Savior. He takes that sin and he just wipes us clean, which is amazing. Here's one. He's the revelation of God. Think about that. Jesus himself said, if you've seen him, you've seen the Father. And that kind of helps us in a lot of ways because sometimes we have these misconceptions of who God is. You can certainly read through the Old Testament and get an image of an angry, vengeful, you know, wrathful God. And yet Jesus says, no, no, no. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You've seen God. So we look at now our understanding of God through that image as Jesus, the revelation of God. And then he talks about, man, there's 7 I am statements in the book of John. You know, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Man, there's so much that we know about Jesus. And so as we think about that, though, Amy and I had a moment of a lot of laughter in my office Friday, watching a video. And the question is, not just what do we know about Jesus, but what Jesus are we following? Because so often we create this image of Jesus in our own pattern. We want Jesus to look like us, to talk like us, to vote like us. And so we kind of delved into the Ricky Bobby version of Jesus.
Anybody seen Talladega Nights?
Anybody familiar with that? You know, where Ricky Bobby's praying and he says, you know, the 6-pound, 8-ounce baby Jesus in his golden fleece diapers. That whole scene is
His wife is like, honey, Jesus grew up. You can stop praying to him as a baby. And he's like, I like Christmas Jesus best.
I like baby Jesus the best. And then, of course, his friend Cal says, you know, I like to think of Jesus in a tuxedo t-shirt. Formal, but he's here to party. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know. Jacked up on Mountain Dew. That's right. We laugh at that. But isn't that really the case sometimes? Is that we create this image of Jesus. We have more knowledge, more ability to see and know more about Jesus than anybody else. I mean, archaeological discoveries and more manuscripts being discovered, we have no excuse to say we don't know Jesus. And yet, how often does the Jesus we say we follow look more like us then we look like Jesus.
Or like what you were talking about with the people at the time would have been expecting power, this political power and this kind of domineering sense.
Well, on the horse with the sword.
Yeah,
right?
and I feel like, I mean, it's easy for me to like be like, oh, I have family and friends who think of Jesus that way. But there are times where I do that too, where we have this idea of who we believe Jesus is, and it's not that.
No,
he's not
that. And that's one of the challenges of the church, isn't it? I mean, as we think about what we're here to do, as we think about the Jesus that we're here to talk about, so often we filter that through our lens and we conform what we read and what we hear and how we study together, and we shape that into something that's more palatable to us, something that's a little easier to go down. And yet, how often do we allow the image of Jesus that we read about to confront our image of him? You know, because I think we really have the same problem today that they had 2,000 years ago. You know, even you go back to the night Jesus was arrested and the guards have come to capture him. And what does Peter do? Peter takes out his sword and he chops off a guy's ear because he's ready to fight. And this is a guy, Peter's been with Jesus for 3 years. He's heard firsthand the stories. He's heard everything Jesus has to say. And yet in this moment, what does he do? He's still like, let's go, Jesus, let's fight. And Jesus is still just going, look, Peter, come on. How many times do I have to say it, man? This isn't it. And I wonder how many times Jesus is looking at us and saying that exact same thing. Brent, come on, man. How many times do I have to show you this before you get it? Quit trying to make me the Jesus you want me to be and follow the Jesus that I am. And I think that to me is what the story of Christmas is all about, is are we following the Jesus that actually came? The one that was born a baby in the shadow of great King Herod in a no-name village who grew up for basically 30 years we know nothing about. We get a couple of glimpses of his life at about 2 years old when his family fled because all the infants were being killed. When he was left at the temple, when his family was traveling, we get that. And then we just have to jump forward. And we don't know much else. But then we do have this incredible image of Jesus, who his words continually confront us and challenge us and push against maybe those of us who say, well, I want Jesus this way. Well, is that really the way Jesus is? And Amy was sharing with me this week that you were listening to a song, and in that, it was Mary Did You Know, right?
They were singing Mary Did You Know. Yeah, I was listening to a version of Mary Did You Know, and the worship leader who was singing it, he was having this kind of moment with Jesus, and he talked about how he felt like he heard this, like, his name's Chandler. He's like, Chandler, do you know? Mm. And it hit me. And Matthew and I were listening to it in the car together, and we were both like, what? That's so good. That's so deep. Like, Brent, do you know? And for me, it was like, Amy, do you know? And that's the Jesus that we do know from what we see in this story of Jesus coming and Jesus' birth and then throughout his whole life and his whole kingdom. But we see that it's like the extraordinary in the ordinary. And this even just, I've been thinking a lot about Mary this week and the ordinariness of Mary and the extraordinariness of Jesus. And so I've been asking myself that question, like, Amy, do you know? Just like Mary carried the Messiah, so do I. So do you. So do you, which is a weird thought. We don't have to have all the complications and the stuff that she had, but we hold, I mean, it says in the scripture in 1 Corinthians, it talks about how you're a temple of the Holy Spirit, right? He dwells in you. So we have, in some form, like, we can ask ourselves that question. Do you know what lives in you? Do you know the extraordinary that lives in you? Do you know the kind of greatness of God that lives in you? And what do you do with that? And that's been a question that's been kind of like plaguing me this week as I think about Mary and as I think about Jesus and the kingdom and how Jesus is so different than what we think, that he is not, it is not this pomp and circumstance and everything is lavish and extraordinary, but it is the ordinary and the extraordinary.
Yeah, and Jesus, and I think that's a great question, and that's just how we end today, is fill in the blank. Do you know? And what do you know? And so as we wrap up here, I'm going to move to the piano because I'm double dutying tonight, today. And I just want you to pause and think. And then Amy, after a while, why don't you just pray for us? And let's just ask. So close your eyes right now. And I just want you to think about that. Put your name in that blank. Brent, do you know?